Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to take this mask off. Glad to see a bunch of smiling faces here this morning. Good to have you all with us. Whether you're here physically or if you're at home and you're with us in your hearts. And we're glad to have all online and in presence this morning. And we're glad to have God in the house with us. This is a good week to load up on your warm weather gear and be ready for the cold. It's because it's probably coming. Get a good dose of God's warmth and love this morning to see you through the week. We thank everybody for wearing masks and helping us stay safe, maintaining distancing. For those who are visitors, we ask that you go ahead and fill out the Connect card that's in the hymnal racks, just so we know and can follow up with you if you need to talk to us. Please go to cypressstreet.give if you need to do your offering online. We also have a box in the back for those who would still like me. A hard copy is always a good way to do it. Just to give you a heads up, next Sunday is February 14th. Now, before I continue with the announcements, I need to do an aside here for the guys in the sanctuary this morning and those that are home listening. This is your heads up. This is your warning about next Sunday. You be ready and take care of what you need to take care of. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Next Sunday, Scott Lamb will be speaking with us for us again. Look forward to having him come back. We have been blessed with some good speakers and good messages, and we thank God for providing and taking care of us. And along with that, we also on February 20th, we'll have a drive-by wedding shower honoring Hannah Blanton and Reuben Mitchell, and to be here at the church. And I believe there was a notice in your bulletin this morning along with that. I'm going to read a little bit from Psalms this morning. I'm not going to step on our speaker's toes this morning. I have stayed away from his scripture verses, but I saw what he's planning to talk about. And the one that came to my mind this morning to give us a start in our worship experience is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as a follow-up to the 23rd, I also had noticed some similar verses in Psalm 61, just a couple. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is your refuge. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for being in this place, for being in our hearts. We thank you for all of the mighty things that you've done in the past for your people. We thank you that you have spoken to our hearts and brought us close to your side in the family of God. We pray that you will be with those who are speaking this morning, who are leading classes, who are bringing the message that you have just laid on their hearts. We pray that you will be with those who are here and who are listening far away, and that you will speak to their hearts this morning, that you will give them the message that they need to hear, and give us courage in the face of difficult times. Help us to be your people and to love everyone. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
It is so good to see everybody here this morning, but I must recognize three sweet ladies who've been sick. And so when they walked through that door, just my heart just sang out. I said, oh, praise the Lord, there they are. And that's been Shirley Kay and Miss Carolyn and Cherry. So good to see y'all feeling better and back with us. And it's so good to have our praise team back assembled together. It just kind of lifts your heart. If you've never listened to the words of this next song, open your ears and hear the beauty of it, because we can do nothing by ourselves, only through Christ. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, and not I, but through Christ in me.
People said, amen. That's right. This song, next song, is even more as beautiful as that one. It is Here I Am to Worship, and I hope and pray that every one of us who entered those doors back there came for the full purpose of worshiping. And it's, so here am I to worship. Here I am to bow down. Let's enjoy singing this together.
You're all together lonely. altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship.
Amen.
Good to see the little ones with us this morning. I'm supposed to introduce our speaker this morning, Ray Owens, but he should be well known to those of you that have been here and been following his messages these past few months. Please hold up Ray in prayer this morning. As you'll notice in the prayer needs, his mom is still in hospital and still need of prayer and still need of watching over him and his brother and the rest of the family. And we, our thoughts are with you. You see our prayer requests this morning, Gene Owens and Shirley Mahar, Linda Davis family. We continue to remember those who are affected by the virus and recovering, and glad to have those back that have been in need of recovery for that. And for other needs and other health needs this morning. And I'm also thinking this morning of the need for a prayer of unity this morning. So much division in the world, different factors in the world. And we of all people should pray that everyone come together under one umbrella this morning. Think of the school situations, and every time they turn around, the kids are being sent home, and it's difficult to concentrate and stay fixed on their task. And please also be in our pastor search. Continue to pray for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning awesome God, to watch out for us through many trials and dangers that exist in this world, and just things that happen. And we know that you have your eye on Satan to watch over his actions in this world, and we pray that you will keep us aware and keep us sharp and keep us with our hearts and our minds on you and on the things of your kingdom. Help us to remain focused and fearless, and help us to outreach for those who still need to hear your word and your message. And help us to love others. Father, we ask this morning that you will continue to bring us together in unity of spirit and heart. Help us to worship as one, the one true God. Father, we pray that you will be with those who are in the school systems that need to be protected and watched over. It's difficult to learn when you're fearful about what's going to happen tomorrow. Or just be in our schools. Be with our teachers, those that are making decisions about the school system. Be with our young children and our young adults, our high school youth. Pray that you will bless them and teach them this young age what they need to know about you. Help us to know what to share with them and how to lead them and be good examples for them. Father, we pray that you will be in this message this morning. Speak to our hearts. Be with Brother Ray as he brings the message to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Appreciate all your prayers. Great attendance today. Thank you for being here. I want to go ahead and apologize ahead of time. If I seem a little scattered, it has been a pretty crazy week as of... Actually, I was glad I wasn't preaching here last Sunday because I was in the emergency room in the surgery all night long with my mom. But two surgeries later and a bunch more time in the ER and living in the ICU, we made some progress and we take a few steps forward, and we take some back. Y'all know what we're going through. But God's in control. On top of that, I had a vaccine this week, and, you know, everything else, you don't even have time to rest from that. And it's been kind of a crazy week. So I'll go ahead and tell you ahead of time that today's message is probably for me. So I'm going to preach it myself and really hammer myself really hard this morning. If by chance you want to listen along and something applies to you from the Word of God, then go ahead and apply it to your life. Before I get started, I want to give you an opportunity to participate as I jump on myself this morning, as I preach real hard to myself on trust and prayer and all that. And while this preacher really gets racked over the coals, I want to give you a opportunity to participate. You know, you probably wanted to tell a preacher a thing or two before in your life. I'm sure not Neil or Brother Neil, that's for you. Not a lot of folks, but you maybe had a preacher before that you'd like to tell him a thing or two, and some of you probably have. So it's an opportunity to participate. So if going along something that really applies to me, that ought to be set straight, you can say amen. That's right. Preach it, brother. You can participate. It's allowed. It's good. We're going to allow a little bit of the word charismatic's kind of got a bad tone, but it's okay to be charismatic when the Spirit's leading you, and especially if you're jumping on the preacher a little bit. No, I'm just joking. I want to give you the first opportunity to participate. Listen to me. If God Almighty has touched you physically, spiritually, or emotionally, or with protection in the last year, I'd like you to raise your hands. Okay. If you looked around, and those at home, I hope you raised your hands. I didn't see a hand not raised, but if it wasn't raised, I pray that for today's over with, it can be raised. I love the song, and I know most of you know He Touched Me. I promise you that although we've gone through crazy stuff, and we're going to go through some more crazy stuff before it's over, one thing's for sure, God has touched us all. And He's not through touching us, and He's going to be with us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. There you go. That's good. Also, on the way here, driving very quickly to get here after speaking with the nurses this morning and getting my brother up there, I came across something we're working on. I have this dream to one day put a prayer walk at our pecan orchard, our church, and actually have it kind of lined up. And every so often, I want to have a little plaque and maybe a bench and have certain things that what God says about us. And I was thinking about that, and many of you probably in school might not have done that great in school. Don't raise your hand at this one, okay? You know, you might not have done too good in school. You might have had some problems and struggles. And no one's ever told you that you were gifted. As a psychologist and director of psychological services, it was my job to evaluate children or supervise the evaluation of children. And we labeled the both extremes of the normal curve, cognitively, both extremes. And it was kind of sad labeling the low end, but that was required to get help and services. And then, of course, to get extra help, the cognitively gifted. Well, in case I want to really boost your God esteem and self-esteem this morning. Your self-esteem's boosted because you can now say that a psychologist has told you you are gifted. So hereby consider yourself gifted. And for those that want God esteem, God has said you're gifted. So I'd like you to say this. I'm going to read a scripture. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, I'm just paraphrasing it. God has given us all different gifts. Your gift looks a little different than somebody else. And according to his grace, he's given us. So if God has given us gifts, then you're gifted. So here's what I want you to say. I am gifted. I am gifted. There you go. So this morning, you got a smile. You're gifted. And if I was preaching next Sunday, I would say, I am beautiful. Some of you maybe say, I've never been called beautiful. And then some of you guys might, I don't want to be beautiful. Well, God's word says you're beautiful. Okay, get your outline out. It looks like a dissertation. We're going to go quick and long as we really preach to Brother Ray about trusting God. Our text this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. You see it there on your outline. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, and that's a key, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus speaking a little bit later, in Matthew, the second scripture there, actually speaking earlier, he said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. Another time he says, let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Basically tells us, do not worry. Jesus says, don't worry. So how do we move from worry or anxiety to trust? Or from worry and anxiety to peace? And of course the answer is, in my opinion, trusting God. So what I've done is I've taken the acrostic trust, the word trust, and I've kind of given us some points that fill that in. So if we get God's peace, it says here it's going to be beyond anything we can understand. And especially today as we look around and we see things that are going on in our country, and as Mike so aptly said and many others before us, that we want to pray for unity, but we have these sides that are going so far out there to where, you know, as a person who obviously loves people and loves especially my elderly folks and you guys, you know, we're giving vaccines to terrorists before we give it to regular people. We want to make sure the stimulus check goes to people that might not even be legally here, you know, before it gets to folks that are struggling. You know, just all these things that just make you want to go, what? You know, I mean, so logical to most people, but there really is a group out there that thinks that's cool. I'm going to be Southern. bless their hearts. Remember, I'm preaching to me, so I can kind of say what I want to say. Anyone here like me today, anyone that they could honestly say, I could trust God more this year? Me. Anyone a bit anxious? I think you got to have some kind of problem or be on some pretty good medication to not face some anxiousness right now. So how do you trust on God? Number one, turn your panic into prayer. We work at Nick. Nick is awesome, by the way. Give Nick a hand, man. I tell him. He's the best I've seen. Turn your panic into prayer. Have you ever noticed how we tend to get that backwards? We tend to do the opposite. The text says, here's how we do. I worry about everything. I don't pray about nothing. And there are a lot of folks, even folks at one time that were believers, that do that. And sometimes we who are believers and even pastors will start with the worrying, and then we go, oh yeah, I need to pray. That's right, I'm a pastor. I need to pray. You know? We get it backwards. We face tough times, and there's things that happen. Our body gets anxious. Epinephrine starts pouring adrenaline in our body. We get, you know, excitatory. Our blood pressure goes up. And I'd taken Mom to the doctor on Thursday prior to her fall. She fell and ended up with internal injuries and bleeding and had to have a few surgeries. And prior to that, I was taking the doctor because there's some things that just wasn't right. And while I was there, I went ahead and did my annual. So, you know, I'm dealing with her, and I got all my papers and dealing with all that. And then she said, oh, I need to take your blood pressure. And I said, oh, it's going to be high. I could feel my head going, boom, 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 you know. And sure enough, it was, you know, because you just got so much on, you know. And that's okay. God puts it when we have the fight or flight. That's what happens. And when something happens or you hear something crazy, you know, or whatever, it does biologically stimulate at least about half the population. There's some that never worry about anything and they don't even have sensations. You know, there's a few of those out there, and bless their hearts, you know. But most of us, the blood pressure gets going, it kicks up, and I don't care if you're human and you have a blood pressure, praise the Lord, you're going to have that response and you get a little anxious. Motor movement, fight or flight. Here's the problem. If we continue and stay in that state, it kind of leads to a panic. Well, what does the Word of God say? Look there on your outline, James 5. Is any of you in trouble? And this country's in trouble. He should pray. So before you call your congressman and senator, and man, praise the Lord, I hope you do, before you rant on social media, before you do anything, pray. In fact, I think if everybody prayed before they went on social media, whoo, there might be a little more unity. Secondly, Jesus and Luke. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they must never give up. Now, if Jesus is telling the disciples they need constant prayer, we need it. This man needs it. Amen. So what does prayer do? It does a lot of things. Man, I've got sermons on prayer. You've heard better sermons on prayer, but I want to hit a couple things. First of all, prayer reveals the presence of God. Prayer reveals the presence of God. You see that text alluded to there in James 4, 8. Draw close to God and communicate with him, and guess what? God will draw close to you. So if I reach out and begin to communicate with God, guess what? God's always there, but he begins to communicate with me in spirit. God's always there. He first loved us, but he wants us to reach out. Reach out. And it reveals the presence of God. So when you start praying, you might could tell. And by the way, God's a big, powerful guy, and he can take whatever you throw at him. I mean, let him have it. I'm sick of this. What in the world? I've served you all these years. You know, I mean, go all into it. That's fine. Cast all your anxieties to him. Let him have it. He can take it. And somewhere in there, he starts kind of talking to you and giving you a peace, and his presence comes upon you in prayer. It reveals the presence of God. There's a thing that I saw that said, joy is not the absence of suffering, but the presence of the Lord. And that's good, because you know what? In life, you're going to suffer. You're going to have trouble. Jesus said that. In this life, you're going to have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. So at the end, it's all good. And we're going to talk about that. The presence of God is powerful. You ever feel like God's so far away? I guess one of my favorite Christmas messages is the prophet Isaiah sharing about Jesus Christ coming, and it says his name is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God wants to be with us. God wants to be with us when it's bad. God wants to be with the pastor when there's troubles. God wants to be in the ICU room. He wants to be on the mountain high, driving down the road on a beautiful day on the Blue Ridge Mountains in your sports car or your Harley. And I've done both, and yes, it is a God thing. Secondly, prayer remembers the provisions of God. Prayer actually reminds us, I'm just using the word remembers. Did you know prayer reminds us the provisions of God? I was just looking on my phone, which I hope's on silent because of what's going on. But on Psalms 103, there's a long list of things God has done that the psalmist said. And I appreciate the psalm this morning. It don't get better than that. And said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, the things he's done. And here's what I want to say. Whenever we forget what God has done, we're going to have trouble or stop believing what he can do. One of the things that's awesome about all of us that got to be raised in a Sunday school class by whoever raised you, particularly in kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten, you know, early elementary, is all those stories they taught us are sunken way down deep into our brain, and we know that if God's no respecter of persons, and if he did it back there, he can do it now. Do you see what I'm saying as a kid? And that's the truth. You just raised your hand that God had touched you. We need to constantly, when we pray, sometimes it comes back to us what God has done that gives us faith for what he can do in this deal. I couldn't face what I faced this week with the ups and downs and the yo-yos if I hadn't been through some things and God's always been faithful in. You follow me? So God's prayer is good about remembering the provisions of God. God got me through last time, he'll get me through this time. That's kind of simple, but that's how it is. Thirdly, prayer releases the power of God. Prayer releases the power of God. James 5:16 there says, the earnest, sincere prayer of a righteous person has great power and availeth much, or has wonderful results. Now, I'm not saying God won't answer. I'll say something to the man upstairs and he'll take care of it. I'm not saying he don't respond to that. But if you really read that scripture, I'm saying when you get serious and you get on your knees or you fall before him and you seek out, notice, earnest, sincere prayer. And it's not about posture. That's sort of a thing for me. But I am saying that if you read the Old Testament and you look at certain things, when you come into the presence of God, I'm just telling you, I'm going to get on my knees. That's just me. Not while I'm driving a car, I won't, you know. There's times you can't, or on a motorcycle or whatever. But I am saying that a sincere, earnest prayer moves God and has power. In fact, one of the things I thought about putting on the sign was this: I am a threat to the devil. Did you know the Bible says that you've been given authority to trample Satan? And we go around wince, and we're just not as powerful because we don't realize who we are in God. And I have to be reminded of that as well. So sometimes God, who can take care of a situation easily, never fall into the trap, and sometimes I fall in the trap. I know his heart so well, and I understand it so well, but I forget to ask him to do it. God can take care of it, but for some reason he's decided many times to hold up till we ask. Scripture, you receive not because you ask not. And I always love that scripture of the widow begging for assistance, mother for her child or family, beating on the wicked judge's door, and he don't care less, he could care less, but she keeps beating and beating and says, even if the wicked judge will eventually give her what she wants, how much more is God going to do it? In other words, God, God. Sincere, earnest prayer availeth much. Amen. Second point, renew your confidence in the goodness of God. Every now and then we need to do that. We need to renew our confidence in the goodness of God. Now, almost everybody loves the Lord, believes God is great. In fact, for years at a church I pastored, the guy that would close the service, do the announcements for me and all that stuff, would always say, you know, God is good all the time, God's good, you know, that kind of thing, all those sort of things and all that, and God is great. Well, a lot of people believe God is great, but not necessarily believe he's good. That's two different things. God can be great, powerful, he's all powerful, he's way up there, he's amazing and all that, but he's not a relational thing, and you don't even know that he's good. And Jesus himself told them when they said, good teacher, do you remember the one time he rebuked those that called him good teacher? He said, no one's good but the Father. Woo! That'll get you thinking. That'll mess with your theology. In other words, God is good. Some of us trust in the power of God, but here's where some of us struggle. Here's where sometimes I struggle. We struggle in the trust of the love of God for me. I might can minister to somebody else. You can too. We all do that. And we think, yes, I know he loves them. But here's the key. We've got to know God is good to you. God is good to me. He loves us literally with all that he is. And when he looks at us, he sees beautiful. When I look in the mirror, I don't see beautiful. You see what I'm saying? God sees that. He loves us. He cares. The goodness of God. And I sometimes need to renew my confidence, and you do too, in the goodness of God. Why do we sometimes get that way? Well, he didn't do it the way I wanted him to do it. And some of y'all know, you're probably a little bit like me, I know how it needs to be done. If you don't believe me, ask me. And I'll just tell you how it is. Some of y'all are doing that. Don't do that. The sermon's about me. You go, honey, you be. And by the way, that won't work. Next week's Valentine's Day. You got to start now, okay? Or life has dealt us some rough blows, and I'm telling you, life has dealt us some rough blows. Every one of us in here have had some rough blows, and I'm glad we don't get a heads up on our rough blows because we couldn't handle the truth, you know? When it comes, it comes. And the enemy has lied to us a lot, you know. God didn't do this for me. You know, why don't I have more money? Probably because you can't handle it. Why don't I have more of this? Probably because you wouldn't use it right, or you know, whatever. We all have those things. So faith comes in when we believe in God's heart. When we don't actually understand what's going on by his hand in our life. Does that make sense? So right now, things are not good, but by faith, I know he loves me and he wants to work it out for good. Does that make sense? So it's so important to renew ourselves to the idea that God is good. It tells us there some scriptures, 1 Peter 5:7, beautiful refrigerator scripture. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So if you just get all anxious and the blood pressure's up, or you just go going nuts, just, all right, Lord, it's yours. Boom. You know, let him take it. Give it to him. Release it. And we all know that all things work for good to those that love him and have been called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that all the circumstances do. A friend of mine, had a son, two sons, and one of them had a lot of health problems and seizures and all as a young child. Had to have anticonvulsive therapy, a lot of blood work and stuff. And the mom was in the doctor's office trying to distract the child as they drew the blood and all that. And, you know, the person did a wonderful job drawing the blood. Everything's good. Tourniquet's on, you know, all that's good. Then all of a sudden, the little, trying to hold Michael's face away, all of a sudden turned and looked at the needle site. Now, any mothers here know exactly what's going to happen at that point. It went from being good and listening to mama and not even knowing what's going on and saw that and, you know, freak out, the whole nine yards, of course, naturally happened. Well, afterwards, the mom was calming the little fella down, the little four-year-old, and says, "Oh, Michael, you're so brave, you're so brave." And the little four-year-old, and I wrote it down, said, "Mommy, I'm not brave. I'm just a little boy, and they hurted me." Now, everybody goes, "Oh," you know, all the mothers, "Oh." But you're doing right. You're smiling. But what this four-year-old didn't understand is that was needed for his good, but it hurt. It's a temporary hurt. And sometimes in life, we don't understand that things we go through might hurt now, but it's a temporary thing, or it keeps us from doing something else, like we're maybe doing something a little stupid, but not being dumb, dumber, and dumbest over here. You know what I mean? Or there's a million things I could say, you know what I'm talking about, just like this that happened in our life that God's doing. And if you can imagine in your life, just for a moment, if you always got your way, always, or even 90% of the time got your way, I don't care if what your genetics is, if you always got your way, how fun would you be to live with? You would be a spoiled, rotten, I'm in church, snot, brat. Quit doing that, okay? In other words, you need to go through struggles and all that. You got to. You can't always have your way. And if you're getting your way over half the time in a marriage, there's a problem. You know, it's not good in any relationship. It needs to be give and take. Grow, mature. We sometimes hurt. And yes, we want to be spared the hurt. I don't want to think about what we're going to go through with mom. I don't even really want to think about it. But I know God is good, and I have to remember that. God is good. God's in control. Amen? 3, unleash the faith buried beneath your fears. Unleash the faith buried beneath your fears. Now, fear and panic and anxiety are cancer. Faith is like healing. So they're opposites. You can't be in an anxiety, fear state and have, it's doubts. You start doubting, and doubt is the opposite of fear. There's an old story that many of you probably seen or heard back around the turn of the century. Zig Ziglar uses it in his books. Of a Native American, I guess I can't say Indian anymore, Native American from Oklahoma, that's land. They hit oil on it, and he became a gabillionaire doing, you know, lots of money. And he wanted the biggest car in the county and all that stuff, so he bought the biggest Cadillac they made back then when they were big. And to make sure it was the biggest, because some other people were getting oil money, and back then that's what you wanted, is a Cadillac, you know. So he had 3 extra tires screwed on the back of it so it would make it the longest Cadillac in the whole state. And he would drive every day or go back and forth down Main Street. He was a friendly guy. He was not just, you couldn't happen to a better guy. And he waved at everybody. It was like a parade every day down the street. And he'd stop and talk to people. And he'd just go back and forth down the road. And Zig Ziglar said, although he did that, he never hardly took the wheel of the vehicle. He never hit anybody, never caused any problems. And the reason is, the Cadillac was being pulled by two horses. And the two horses would pull it through town, and he'd do all this thing and wave and all that sort of deal, and then they would turn around, you know, and pull it, and then he'd come back through town, and that's why nobody was ever hurt. And if you think of that, instead of using the 200 horses that was under the hood, he was using the two horses he could see and he was used to and he was familiar with. Now, I don't know if that's hitting you yet, but that'll preach. That'll preach to me. I'm not laughing at the Indian anymore, because every one of us have been just like the Indian, except maybe not as rich. We prefer the two horses we can see, what we're familiar with, what we're raised with, when God's got 200 under the hood. And a whole new world if we use that in our life. The scripture there on your outline says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power." So we see the fears that come forward, and we feed our fears, and here's what happens. If I feed my fears, fears will grow. If I feed my faith will grow. So a lot of it depends on what I feed it. And faith is having faith in those 200 horses under the hood. Maybe getting a brother or sister to instruct me how to use the 200 horses under the hood. You know, because how many of you know that Jesus Christ has given us an amazing gift that we fully don't utilize, and it's called the body of Christ? And it's the Cypress Street church family, it's your church family, but it's the kingdom of God wherever you are. I've been around the world and run into other brothers and sisters and surrounded with them, and it's just like awesome. They're there. They're there to instruct me, to help me, to express a thing they went through in their life that encourages me or whatever, or me have the opportunity to do the same thing. So we lean on God's word and his promises. And by the way, I've got a quote on your outline, I think, there. And I know you've seen it before, but I think we need to mention it because I don't think they're being worked out today, or even our apps are being worked out as much. But a Bible that's worn out is usually owned by somebody who's not worn out. Somebody has a worn-out Bible that they're using, they might be physically worn out, but I guarantee you, if you said, "How are you doing?" they're not going, "The world's coming to an end, and there's no hope." I don't think you're going to, you know, they might be with their cane or their walker or rollator, or Friday, was over, and I won't say the name of the person because I don't have their permission, but was out of town and met someone who recently had spinal surgery and is paraplegic. And they have the most positive attitude, and God's working miracles, thank you, Jesus, in their life. And they just in the last week or so actually walked with a rollator, you know, a little, and just amazing things. But I'm like encouraged talking to them. You know what I'm saying? And I've talked to athletes, pro athletes before, and I was left depressed. You see what I'm saying? But talking to and they're encouraging. So, and quoting scriptures and how God's spoken to them. So faith is when we practice God's word in prayer, and it gives us power. Fear, you know, if we practice it weakens us and it draws us down. So we have to release the faith that's underneath when the fear comes upon us. Fourthly, stand on the promise of ultimate victory. I started to tell you earlier, I could have very well, today is Super Sunday, in case you don't know, and today I would have loved to preach to a Super Bowl sermon, and I have a good one if the Saints were marching in. But they're not. But I guess I could have still preached it, because LSU has more players in the Super Bowl than any college. And actually, I found out has for years. Isn't that something? Go Tigers. So we stand on the promises a victory. Now, early in this COVID time back in March, April, you know, maybe May, it was stay at home. There weren't even any sports on, nothing. Don't know if you remember that. No March Madness, no anything, no sports. You know, it was pretty tough. So what they did have on, if you went to ESPN, I mean, they were making stuff up, okay? I'm just telling you, it was bad. But if you went to ESPN, even regular ESPN, the sports channel, if you ladies don't know what I'm talking about, or guys, is it would have a game on it and maybe classic. And I found myself watching a game, and I mean, I started yelling and getting into it and all that. The game had been played 30 years ago. I didn't know the outcome because it was so old I done forgot it. That's how I'm getting, by the way. I can watch a movie again and then every now and then go, oh yeah. Lord have mercy, getting old's tough. Used to remember everything. Smile, some of you young people. So you can go, that was a pretty bad sermon, but he did make me feel better because at least I can remember a movie I saw. So, the game's over and I'm rooting and all that. Well, here's what I want to tell you in case you don't know. Classics. The game of life and the battle is over. The victory's been won. We win, we win, we win. The war has been won. So you might still have some battles on this side, but just read the end of the book. Jesus said in John when he was here, I go to prepare a place for you. The Son of God himself in flesh said, I go to prepare a place for you. And him, he himself, not Paul, not anybody else, said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And in Revelation, and it said that I saw a new heaven and a new earth, John tells us. The old is gone. Look, the home of God is now among his people. God himself will be with them. There's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. In other words, you can read the end of the book. We won. The game is over down there. There's some battles right now, but we win. And every now and then we need to stand on the promise that we win. If Satan's attacking you, remind him of his future. And I know that's a little sarcastic. Sorry, let him have it. I don't have a lot of compassion for him. I think sometimes we're too nice to Satan, to be honest with you. We need to realize there's a battle with him. When things are tough and we think that, you know, stuff's rough, and it has been. Paul puts on our notes there a scripture from 2 Corinthians. I think it's there on your outline. We pulled it up there for you. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. That's the coolest thing. My body makes noises. Things are not like they used to be, but I can be renewed and have joy every day. Boy, that ought to excite somebody. Five people. Okay. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. And I want to go, Lord, do you know the troubles I got? You said they're small? I don't know about that. Yet they produce for us immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not seen. For the troubles that we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Some of us need to remember that. The joys to come will last forever. We've won, the game's over. Yeah, we might need to scream and holler when our team's not doing good now, but the bottom line is we know our team wins. We can calm up, calm down a little bit, calm down, calm down. I've actually watched LSU or the Saints and just had to turn the football game off and walk away. I can't take them anymore. I mean, especially a few years. And that's why last year, 2019, we're watching the Tigers, we're like, it's a miracle. I mean, this is an anointed team. They're in LSU colors, but you know what I'm saying. It was like, you know, what's going on here? You know, Kate, you know, Here's the thing in life, we win. And every now and then when we get stressed out with what some of these decisions that's been made, I have to remember God's in total control. We're going to win in the end. And I think he'll give us a lot of victories in the meantime. I think we need to remember that. Who is in control? It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's God's in control. Number five, take care of what you can and let go of what you can't. Now, I'm not saying that God helps those that helps themselves. I want to make sure that I could really preach a sermon on this about theologically. But I am telling you, trusting in God, this acronym that I have, an acrostic that I have, trusting in God, I want you to hear me, is not a license for irresponsibility. I trust in God, and then you just do whatever you want to do or whatever. It doesn't work that way. In fact, we're going to close today in a little bit with a song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. So, brothers and sisters, we do have a part to play in the solution of our struggles. There's no doubt if we do our part, our children might be blessed, our spouse, our families, our loved ones, our society, maybe even a generation, somebody comes along and does their part, and God honors that, and things are better. Many times there are things that we need to take care of, and we don't take care of, and there's consequences. You know, we need to be prepared. We need to live within our means. You know, the economy now is terrible. It almost rewards folks that don't save and don't do right at the end. I'm finding out even with my parents, if you just squandered everything you have, then, you know, the government will take care of you. Or if you do everything, if anything's left, they take it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's all this stuff that's just crazy. But here's what I'm saying. We have to do our part. This one's really not popular. We should eat right, do our part in eating right. You know, I know, but those brownies look so good. Satan knows that's my thing, by the way. And yes, I've had several of them. We need to obey God's word. If we obey God's word and we're obeying God's word, I'm going to tell you, when you go to him and you're upset and you've been obeying his words, you have a little more to stand on than when you're just doing whatever you're doing, sowing wild oats and then praying for crop failure on Monday. All weekend I sowed wild oats and then I want my crop to not grow. Versus really sowing the proper seed in the Word of God and it don't see it happening and you get a hold of him. I'm just telling you, you're sitting at a better place. I promise you that. But here's the thing, fulfill our responsibility, do all we can, and then here's what we got to do, and this is where I struggle, and I bet you many of you do. You got to let go. It's freeing. If I did an altar call this morning, we can't do to COVID, but you can go to the altar right where you are. I bet you most of us are guilty at this, of letting go and letting God be God. Whatever it is, we cast our cares to him and let it go. There's a quote on your outline. Unfortunately, we tend to not control the things we can and try to control the things we can't. And that results in anxiety. 100% guarantee. If I myself, let me turn that thing on. If I myself in my life decide that I'm going to control things that I want to control because I'm a control freak. Do I have any control freaks here? Not as many people raise your hand. The altars do need to be open, okay? Lord, we're adding line to the list. In the church, in the house of God, I was weighed in the balances and found wanting. Okay. You know, when you prepared well, you studied well, then you do this. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 on your outline, pull it up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, control freaks. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. I want to share a classic story of Tom Dorsey, not Tommy Dorsey, in the 1920s. He was a jazz and blues player. Some of you know the story. And he became a Christian, and he began to write Christian songs. I think before his over with, he wrote 400 Christian songs, many of which you know and are very powerful. As a young African-American blues person, just taken over, becoming very popular, the Lord got a hold of him and he got saved. And in August 1932, he was a featured artist and asked to go to a big thing down in St. Louis. I think he was living in Chicago at the time. He was going down to St. Louis. And he was there. Wife wanted to go ahead. Wife was pregnant with his first child. And, you know, wife Nettie wanted him to go ahead and go. So he did. And it was a big deal. And there at the end of that, y'all have probably heard the story. He gets a telegram like, you know, at the end of the service, your wife has died. Come home. You know. Telegrams don't go into a lot of detail. I don't know if you know that, if you've ever gotten one. But, I mean, obviously that's a terrible tragedy. It was unbelievable. So he rushes home, and rushing home is a train and not that quick. You get there. He got there in enough time, mixed emotions because his wife had passed away, but he had a son. Unfortunately, later that evening after there, the son passed away. So he literally has to bury his wife and his son in the same casket, go through that tragic event that most of us have not quite been through that, or at least not in that shocker and not at that age and all those kind of things. And he went through all of that, and he went into a funk and really wondering what he should do, and there's all kinds of speculations, and, you know, you can check Snoop's and you can go through reading Wikipedia and all that about all the things that happened. But one thing is for sure, a friend of his, after about a week, got him and said, look, we need to go somewhere. So they went to the university where there was a music program, a special music program, and there was a piano there. And as he was there, he just started playing a mixture of this and that. And all of a sudden, he started playing, and words started coming to him, and he began to sing. God came upon him. And most of us probably don't get these kind of things where God just starts speaking through us. But I tell you what, when you go through something like that, and you're in a funk, and you really just fall down, and you don't have anywhere to go but up, I'll tell you this, you've seen footprints in the sand, God will lift you up and carry you. Do I have an amen to that? And that's what happened. And he began to sing unknowingly, never knew where it came from. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me o'er, let me stand. I am weak, I am tired, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. And at the darkest moment, God began to speak through him, and he became so near, he came in him, and he said, I had a peace like I've never had before. Here's what I'm saying. Only God can do that, brothers and sisters. And he is faithful, and he doesn't respect people. If we get to that point, he's there for us. And by the way, he's considered the father of gospel music. And one of his students is considered the queen of gospel music. I think Mahalia Jackson is her name. Can you use peace this morning? If you say, well, Pastor Ray, I've been weighed down with some stuff. You can't believe it. Stress, anxiety, tough road. You know, I just keep getting all these posts on my, you know, whatever. I'm going to go ahead and say this just for what it's worth. I want the worship team to go ahead and come up. We're going to sing Trust and Obey. Here's what I want to tell you. You know what? There comes a time, brothers and sisters, when some of us need to turn the social media off. We don't need to follow everybody. And Pastor, I don't need to go and do prayer warrior stuff for everybody in the United States that's going through this or that or a child or whatever. Do you follow what I'm saying? There comes a point to say, Lord, give me the serenity, the grace, and the wisdom to know what I can take and where I stand as a pastor in the gap between somebody and God. I can't do it all. Let me know when to say yes. Let me know when to say no. Amen. And some of us sometimes need to turn that off, change apps we're doing, maybe go to CBN, Christian or something, instead of CNN or whatever it is, all that. Sometimes we need to do our part, but the answer is then trust in God. Trust in God. I want to go ahead and tell you before we sing, trust and obey, old song, great words. There's a definition of real anxiety. Real anxiety. I want you to imagine a future with no Jesus in it. Brothers and sisters, I can't even imagine that. And I see your head shaking. You can't either. I don't want to be too bold with this, but I bet you 35 to 50% of the people in this country really don't see a future with Jesus in it. It's really a miracle we're doing as good as we are. Really is. We need to make sure we have Jesus in our life and that we're doing all we can do, but trusting Him and be a witness for Him, so that maybe people will see a peace when the world's falling apart and when there is this division and when there is all this anxiety and when we are living in ICU and when we're doing through that, that we let God help us. Not in our own power, but we let God help us, because there's a world that needs to see. They live thinking there's no Jesus, or if it is, He was just a good prophet. They don't know about the end. Half the things I shared, they don't believe or know. And they need to see it in our life. They need to see it in your life. You can make a difference. Even if you made a difference for just your neighbor or your child or your son or whoever, you know, somebody, we can make a difference. Just one person. Y'all all seen the starfish thing, you know, guy throwing starfish back. Y'all all know that. Well, you can't make a big difference. Well, I made a difference for that one. I bet you all of you know somebody's pretty unlovely. You know, they're hard to love. They're grace challenged. You know what? You might not be the one that needs to deal with them. If I have a temptation with alcohol, I don't need to be going into the bars. If I have a temptation with lust, I don't need to be going to strip clubs. Probably don't need to anyway, Internet. Okay? Just a thought. If I have problems with politics, I probably don't need to run for an office or go to a political rally. But I'm saying, if I got somebody I know that God put in my life that's going through a struggle and I know it, you don't have to know it all. You just talk to them and love on them. And here's the cool thing, just share what God's doing in your life. So the key is, as we close, is He doing anything in your life? Is He doing anything in my life? Absolutely, but I've got to trust and obey and depend on Him, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
Won't you stand with us as we sing that beautiful hymn, Trust and Obey?
We do His good will.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Appreciate the message. Trust and obey. Hope you all have a good week this week. Let's pray. Father, I just pray this morning that you give us the strength and the faith to hang in there with you during tough times and times that you may not think are bad, but we usually do.
Yes.
We pray that you will be with us and show us your way, step at a time, whatever we can handle. Pray that we will listen and trust and obey. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.